Brilliant. Thank you, Capacity Crowd. Oh, welcome. Have you got a rattle in the studio this week? Welcome along to this week's edition of Life's a Pitch at TV. I'm Mark Murphy. Really, really great to have your company, whether you're listening on podcast or watching on YouTube. Big thank you to our main sponsor, DPS Tech, for helping us get onto air every week, along with our other sponsors, All About Hearing, marketing company Ginger Pickle, Forward Floors, Come Hither Design, The Hudson Group, Sound 4 Pro Audio, and Venue 16. There are still some sponsorship opportunities available, should you want them. So just email lifesapitchtv@gmail.com. Let me introduce you to the team. It's Terry Butcher. Yay! You remember hearing that rattle when you were playing, do you, Butch?
Thank you, Mark. I am a bit old, but not that old.
I was just double checking. I don't want to assume anything. Before I get here, here's Phil Hamm. Hello.
Hello.
From twtd.co.uk. Yeah. Behind the bar.
Yeah, all good. All good. Got me McKenna's at the wheel mug.
Excellent.
Drinking that today. Yeah.
Excellent.
Courtesy of Come Hither Design.
Okay. It's one way to get a mention on the show, bringing gifts in, isn't it?
This is true.
We've actually got cake this week. More on that later. We have got an amazing cakes like Test Match Special in here tonight. It's fantastic. On technicals, it's Richard, John and Mark over there. Well done. And well done, Capacity Crowd, for squeezing in. My goodness me. I think this is the biggest crowd we've ever had, don't you?
It is. And I think it's going to be the best one as well. But I say that every week.
Well, are you going to be the best crowd so far? I think they're a rowdy rabble, rowdy rabble. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe, please. It helps us keep the channel going, and we would love it if you smash the like button, subscribe. Please, 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 it helps us keep the channel going. Every week on the show, we have a big Ipswich Town guest. He's coming up very shortly, and we'll introduce him in a moment or two. But a great response to last week's show. Wasn't David Sheepshanks great last week? Did any of you watch it last week?
Yeah.
He was incredible, really open, wasn't he?
Yes, I enjoyed watching it from here. I didn't actually talk much. I just watched the show. I thought he breathed through his ears.
One of the YouTube evening, David. One of the YouTube comments was, "I've never seen Butcher so quiet."
Yes. Yeah. So I think I might be quiet tonight as well, because our guests can talk a bit very much.
I think he can. Lovely comment coming in from just loads of them, actually. This was from David. Another wonderful show. Great insight into the club from David Sheepshanks. A great ambassador for our club. He was always happy to stop and say hello on the random times I bumped into him around the town. From his stories, hindsight is a wonderful thing in football. Looking forward to the next show. Also love the way you all gel on the show. So, yes, we do get on rather well. So, David, thanks very much. And did David Sheepshanks mention last week he's got a book coming out? I think he mentioned that once or twice last week.
Yes.
So, guarantee, hopefully, you get a free copy. We have got a website launching very soon as well. You'll be able to buy merch. You'll be able to buy shirts like these and white shirts and mugs and stuff. So, that'll be good. That'd be nice.
Yeah, be very good. I mean, the shirts fit me, so and they fit you as well, very well.
I know. There's enough X's on mine, though.
So. Well, it's a bit snug, but there we go.
Thanks very much, yeah. Butch. And we've also got lots of special events coming up, and one to put in your diary, everybody. November the 30th, we are going on the road. We're not going very far, but we're going on the road, and we're going to have a big, big capacity crowd. So make the note of November the 30th for our Christmas special.
Is that St. Andrew's Day? I think it is.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Do we need a Scot then that night?
Well, we need some whiskey, I think, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, that'll do. Good, yeah. I'm sure that's available. I'll introduce our guest in a moment or two, but some matches, Phil. Obviously, Leeds United last weekend. What a roller coaster that was.
It was, yeah, sort of match they write operas about, wasn't it? It was a lot happened, didn't it? Good start, getting off to own goal, putting us in front, but then I think we saw partly the quality of Leeds up front. They're attacking four players, but also some defensive frailties or kind of one or two errors that put them in a 3-1 lead. But I thought the most heartening thing was at 3-1, you can fall apart as a team at 3-1, having conceded three goals in 9 minutes like that, particularly against a Leeds team that had their, you know, they were looking very dangerous at that point. But we just played our way back into the game, pulled a goal back, and actually, until they scored their fourth goal, I thought we looked the more likely scorers of the game's next goal. And but so it was a defeat, but I thought we we didn't, what's the word? We were playing against a team that was in the Premier League last year and we competed against them. And I think there's not an enormous distance between us and sides that have come down from the Premier League.
When you look at the size of that strike force and the cost of it, it's no
70 million quid
goals.
For the front four.
70 million quid. Yeah. What's your assessment of it, Butch?
Well, it's one of those games that you love to watch. And, okay, we lost the game, but you came away feeling excited because that's the standard. And we've had so much rubbish at Portman Road in the years that to see a game like that, even though we didn't come out on top, was just wonderful because it was end-to-end stuff. That, you know, anything could happen. I had a little guy beside me, his first game to watch, and he watched a good one as well. A big Ipswich fan, but, of course, disappointed. But he was just enthralled with the goals, with the action, with everything else, and the noise from the crowd. So, yeah, I mean, games like that are brilliant to watch. The only thing we've got to do is just go and win these ones. And, you know, I'm sure that they will do that. But I think we need, as Phil says, we need to get another centre-half, if possible.
Well, we may have some news of signings to talk about a little bit later on in the show. But I think well done to all the fans that were there, because the Leeds fans are pretty noisy. But we outsung them, didn't we? They were pathetic compared to us. So well done.
Well done,
fans. Brilliant. And of course, this week we've also been in Carabao Cup action and penalty shootout, Phil.
Yes, I think that was our fourth ever win in a penalty shootout. We haven't had too much luck in penalty shootouts. I think we beat Luton in the Zenith Data Systems.
The Zenith Data Systems?
Yes. Younger,
anyone remember that?
Younger viewers may have to look that up on Wikipedia. It may not even know a Wikipedia page. And then we beat Shrewsbury, and then we beat Peterborough in the Papa John's a couple of years ago. And so, yeah, so we haven't had the greatest luck over the years. But, yeah, it was one of those. We let in a stupid early goal, which was... I mean, I felt sorry for Brandon Williams because it wasn't really his fault. It was just palmed against him and it went into the net. So he didn't have the best start to the game, but I thought he did well after that. I think it's his first game since December, first start since December last year. So he'll get better with games. So, but I thought he got better as that game went on. And we got ourselves into a winning position, and really... We were the better side after that for most of the game. Got ourselves into a winning position, then gave another silly goal. And then fortunate to come out of the right side of the penalty shootout. Although I have to say, the penalties were excellent. I have to say that they were very good. And Kieran Slicker in goal showed a bit of the bit of Paul Cooper, bit of that sort of goalkeeping penalty shootouts to... showed that he's won for a penalty shootout and got us through.
And Wolves in the next round, Butch, that's winnable, isn't it?
Very winnable. It'll probably be against Wolves reserves anyway. So, you know, that's what happens. And I hope that Kieran puts out a pretty strong side. It'd be lovely to beat them, wouldn't it? But just to compete against them as well. We're on a cup run. Wow, we've not had a cup run for years.
It's really deserves a round of
exciting
applause.
Stuff. Wow.
Eight years since we were in the third round of the Carabao Cup. And yeah. I think that was when we went to
third round of anything, I think.
Old Trafford, and we played the reserves, which Luke Chambers was talking about a few weeks ago.
Yep. Well, look, it's good at the moment. We're loving it, aren't we? We're all loving the season so far, aren't we? It's great to be back. It's time to introduce our special guest this week. He knows where the goal is. He's going to try our Keepy Uppy Challenge a little bit later on in the programme. Capacity Crowd, big welcome for Alan Leeds!
That's not my song.
That's not your song, is it? So we were working out what song to sing. But do you want to just do your song, and then perhaps the crowd will kind of join in? Alan, come on.
I have been likened to Tony Hadley in the past.
Yes, you have.
That's a clue. Yes. So it's Alan Lee. Goal. Always believe in your score. No.
You've got the power to know. You're indestructible. Always believe in Alan Lee.
Hey!
Thank you very much.
They got there in the end. What's it like having a song like that? How does it feel when you hear that song?
It's funny because there's some videos on YouTube and my little boy's getting, Harry's getting to the age where he's watching them and you can hear that song in the background. I mean, it's wonderful, Terry, isn't it? I'm sure you'll have plenty of songs sung about you. You know, you've just scored a goal, you're on a high, and there's that wonderful moment afterwards where you take it in. So, I'm particularly proud of that one, especially looking like Tony Hadley.
I used to have a song about me, and everywhere they went, the opposition sang it. It was Terry Butcher, and there was a word in there that rhymed with tanker. But at least they remembered my name anyway.
Well, that's a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can hear it on the pitch, though, can you, when they're singing it?
I think when general play is going on, you're not really conscious of what the crowd are doing. But after a goal, you're walking back. I think that's when I take it in. You've got that split second to relax. So it's probably the only thing you really hear.
And that's a magic feeling, though, isn't it? So how does it feel when that ball hits the back of the net?
Well, scoring a goal that counts, so a last minute winner or, you know, something that gets you promoted. I mean, if you think about it, no one can buy that experience. No Elon Musk couldn't spend £1 billion getting this experience. It's a special event. And I was very lucky being a striker. You know, I scored some big goals. But that moment when you score, you just run to the crowd. You can feel it, like you can jump as high as, you know, as high as you want. All of a sudden, you've got loads of energy. I mean, if we could bottle that feeling, we'd make a lot of money.
You would indeed, yeah. We were standing earlier having some photographs with our capacity crowd, and there was you and Butch standing together. And I think it was Phil who mentioned what a tussle it would be, you two, with you up front and Butch up at the back.
I don't know. I think Butch would have me in his pocket, to be honest. I think Butch played in an era where men were men. I'd have given him a good go. I might have stamped. He's got quite long feet. I think I might have stamped on his feet a little bit. But I know if you get Butch angry, stay out of the way.
Yes, quite right as well.
Yes.
I did notice your hands. You've got frying pan hands. The hands are huge. Show your hands. Look, massive hands. So, you know, he would have been very handy, sort of thing.
You're not the same about big hands, Butch, don't you? Should have been a goalkeeper.
It should have been a goalkeeper.
Should have been a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
We'll talk later on about some... careful. You know about some of the things that go on the show, the Keep It Up Challenge. We've got some questions from the crowd. We've got some questions from our socials a little bit later on. And we've got some for you as well. But a lot of people have passed comment, though, that you did have a slight aberration in your career, didn't you? There was a time,
don't know,
Alan,
what you want about.
There was a time, Alan, when you went up the A140. What was that about? I mean, were you not well?
Listen, first of all, I'm very sorry.
Thank you. No, I think that's great. Well done.
And I think I've just about pulled it off. I got away with it. You know, in all seriousness...
No, you haven't, by the way. I remember.
I suppose for me, I kind of didn't really want to leave Ipswich. You know, I wanted Ipswich to offer me a new contract, and there was a lot of new signings around that time, and I felt a bit let down. So I think when I went to Crystal Palace, I didn't go in there in the right mindset, and that showed my first season there. So at the end of the first season, I suppose for the most important thing for me, I wanted to get back home. Yeah. You know, we still had a place in Dedham. That was where my fiance was. What felt like my family network. I loved living in Suffolk, so I had to make the right decision for me. I'm paying the price ever since
for years to come. No, we understand. As a footballer, you go where you go for the best deal because you have to get it while you can, don't you? As a player, I think you've forgiven.
There was obviously no other offers, was there? I mean, that would be the last offer for me.
I did get them relegated.
Yes. Oh, fantastic.
I did.
Yeah, yes, we got Brandon. Brandon Williams did that as well. Yes.
It's funny. I say, you know, I went there for the last 6 weeks of the season. I actually enjoyed my time there. You know, and I came over. I've worked all over the country, and East Anglia, I think, is just the best place to live. So... I felt quite comfortable there, and funny enough, I enjoyed my 6 weeks.
Yeah, you did say it was 6 weeks of playing the best football I've ever played. I know. Come on, then. Please answer.
Yeah, it's isn't it strange in football? I think I had a spell there, but I was very proud of. I played fantastically well. I remember a game at Watford, and you come off the back of. I was awful at Crystal Palace, you know, felt unfit, useless, overweight, no confidence. and then someone believes in you and you want to pay them back.
Well, I think you're perfect for Norwich under those circumstances.
And the similar thing happened to me at Cardiff. I was so down in the dumps. I just felt awful. Joe Royal signed me. Next game, I'm fit as a fiddle, you know, running through defenders, you know, feeling invincible. And just shows you the power of your mind and your confidence and your self-belief. I don't feel I had that automatic self-belief that I think really good players have. You know, I always probably doubted myself. So maybe that was something to do with it.
We'll talk to Phil in a moment because I know he's got some questions for you. But I've had a message through from Shane Supple, former Ipswich Town goalkeeper, of course. You know Shane very well, don't you?
Yeah, an old friend. Good guy.
Yes, and the message is, did you ever get that shelf fixed at Dedham?
I fixed it, so I don't know if that really means it's fixed. It should have come with a warning when I sold the house. There was a strange double height kitchen with a coffin door, and we'd kind of back in the day, you know, a good result on a Saturday, myself and Supps and a few others, we were a bit more refined. We weren't going to spend, you know, we wanted to spend our time in Dedham in a nice country pub. And it was a particularly good result. It might continue on to the Sunday, and then a little barbecue and party back at mine. But I remember the music being on one night, and Shane is on the second floor on this shelf, 10 foot up, and I'm watching it slowly bend down as I'm ready to catch him underneath. I think it's safe to say no one will ever stand there again.
No. Good lad, though, isn't he? Good lad.
Lovely guy. Went to his wedding last year. He's doing really well for himself over in Ireland. Really landed on his feet. And a really positive story about a footballer, you know, coming out of football and then making a success at something else. Intelligent young man. You should get him on here.
Yeah, we will do. We'll do. And it was a big decision for him, I know. We've spoken to him before. Phil, you got some questions for Alan for us?
Yeah, well, it's back to Dublin, really, which is where Shane lives now, isn't it? Your football career started in Dublin with Ron Atkinson coming around your house, didn't it?
I suppose I came from a background where, you know, you wouldn't know. It's not like in England, you'd know someone in your school might have become a professional footballer or something. That was just such a pipe dream. So we were so naive. And when I was about 14, scouts started asking me over on trial. And I went to Nottingham Forest and was awful. Then I went to Man U and I went to Aston Villa. And I just felt at home straight away. But every holiday, they'd fly me over. And I'd be like going on a football camp. For me, it was just like going on a football camp with no real, you know, didn't have the experience to know that they were actually looking to sign us. So when they offered us a contract to 16, we were all like going, well, no, of course not. We've got to finish school. And went back to school that year. And a few weeks later, Ron Atkinson turned up at the house and had a chat with mum and dad. And dad is a bit starstruck. And my father kind of said to me, you know, why be stuck behind a desk for 30 years to do what I did? Why not give it a go? And they had assurances we could come back at any time and their education would be done. And I kind of jumped out of the house, off I go, not kind of really realizing I'm leaving home here. Went over to Aston Villa. But it's pretty hard to turn someone like Ron Atkinson down, quite charismatic.
Yeah.
Did he bring an entourage with him? Like after the game I had with him at Coventry in a cup match, I invited him into the room. So then he brought about six or seven people in. They weren't players; they were people. They were like gangsters. They all come in my room and they ate all my food and drank all my beer.
I tell you, at Aston Villa, there in those days, you know, we'd Paul McGrath, Dwight York. Mark Bosnich,
Dalian Atkinson,
like you could see anything going on at the training ground. You know, the training would be a five-a-side. As a youth teamer, Ron would want to join in the five-a-side with the first team. So you might get pulled out of training to walk his dogs around. You know, there'd be people turning up straight from a black tie dinner. And there was, you know, there was lots of fun and games, let's put it that way. But everyone had a hell of a lot of respect for Ron Atkinson. He did really well while he was there. And I remember the day he got the sack, he just came in with a few cases of champagne and all the players just stayed with him and had a big knees up. And he that's the way he went out.
I never did that with when I got the sack. I had to get out and I had to clear my desk and everything else and nobody wished me good luck. So.
Oh, Butch.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I got used to it after about 8.
But you worked. You played for some real characters as managers, didn't you? Well, one that obviously Ipswich fans will remember is Ronnie Moore. When Ronnie Moore was thought he'd been offered the job at Ipswich, I think the younger viewers may not recall that. Basically,
he was Rotherham manager, wasn't he?
He was Rotherham manager for Alan, and George had been sacked, hadn't he? George Burley had been sacked, and it came up on Sky Sports that Ronnie Moore had been offered the job as Ipswich manager, and he was at Millmore, I think, was it? And waving goodbye, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was. Do you know what? I kind of. Because Ronnie was a great character, lovely guy. Him and John Brecken have so much. They did so much for me, and they did so well. They deserved to get a job like Ipswich Town, or you know, certainly a championship job for what they did with Rotherham, getting them up from the second, from the first, and keeping them in the championship. But he did say goodbye to us as players, and we'd quite a bunch of characters. So when he came back in on the Tuesday, we weren't going to let him forget it, bless him. So he stayed about 30 yards away from training, and just kept his head down for a while. But I'd Stan Turnant before that at Burnley. I remember once being pulled out of training, I had to go and find a cigarette from someone's pocket. Go and light it in someone's car and keep it alight, come out because he'd wanted a cigarette at the side of the pit training. And I was in his bad books. But listen, as I said before, men were men back there. It was a pretty tough dressing room. He's from a different era, but a real character, but someone that you still see him now and he speaks to you properly. He phones you up when something goes well and just someone that... I miss that sort of character now. You know, he's so honest. So honest.
Paul Cook was part of your dressing room at Burnley, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Cookie was a bit lively back in the day. as were a few other, we'd Ronnie Jepson, Peter Swan. I don't remember we just had the biggest 5 meatheads you've ever seen in football, all in one team. We were going to get promoted.
She did.
We did. He was successful. You know, Stan Turnant was very successful as a manager. Got Burnley promoted, kept them up. And it was a bit of a sleeping giant around then. It wasn't an easy job.
So, and after Rotherham, you got moved to Cardiff. I think you felt it was a bit of a step up because you'd been very, very successful at Rotherham as well, hadn't you? And step up to Cardiff didn't go so well. And then you'd had a knee problem at Cardiff, is that right?
It started quite, the first few games started well actually, and then I went away to play for Ireland and had a knee injury, and had an operation failed. I was kind of 4 or 5 months getting back, the knee failed again, then I'd hernia, and I was kind of, the club had moved on then, I think they'd signed other centre forwards, I was kind of on the bench, not playing well, not living right. You know, kind of down the dumps. And it's easy to get like that. You know, you start blaming other things and you hurt, you know, your injuries or whatever. But I was in totally the wrong frame of mind. And it was quite a shock to have Ipswich Town come in for me. You know, I really felt, geez, I'm lucky here. And then you go up and you meet Joe Royal and you go around the training ground, bearing in mind Cardiff for training in the middle of an athletics pitch at the time. And I just gave me such a lift. I like living in Suffolk. You know, there's no motorways. It's just life's a little bit more chilled out. Suited me. And just, you know, settled in straight away.
What was Big Joe like? What was he like when he was talking to you? Because we all remember that time when we had no money, really, did we, at the club? And, you know, if he'd have had a little bit of backing, my goodness me, who knows where we could have gone under his managership?
Well, I obviously didn't need any persuading. I suppose I look at Joe Royal and a lot of this manager, a lot of managers and coaches and people working the game don't look like they're having any fun. Even when it's going well, they're under pressure. He just had an aura and something about him, he knew what to do. And he was an exceptional manager. I remember I had a bad first half against Crystal Palace. I'd been doing super up to that point, and I'd scored four goals, I think, in six games. Or anyway, it was early on, and Joe just said to me, "Come on, Alan, that's not you, is it? That's not you." And I just thought, do you know what? You have just nailed how to speak to me. I went out, had a great centre. I wanted to show him. He'd show me such respect, and he knew what to say, and that was just. He's so much class, Joe. So, I remember the teams would play good football, we'd score goals, and he'd never get stressed. You know, there was the odd bollocking, but he'd never get completely stressed. And he looked like he really enjoyed it.
Hmm. And 6 months later, one of your teammates is the manager, isn't he?
Yeah, Jim. It's funny, I don't know if you were at the ex-players dinner last year, Jim came.
Yeah, I was there. I just actually interviewed him. Yeah,
yeah, and he spoke. He's so charismatic. I think when
could you understand him a little bit? I was
oh no, but that doesn't matter, does it? You know, you're
but he spoke very well.
He's very charismatic, and he has an aura about him, and you know, I think we did well under Jim. And I think Jim, for a young manager, very well. My one thing was, like, on a match day, it mattered so much to him. He would, you know, he would go nuts. And, you know, I think if he could just calm that down a little bit. But I still think there's a manager there. You know, he's so knowledgeable, so charismatic, you know, so much charisma. He can stand up. He can talk in front of a room. He's quick-witted. But it was difficult having him as a manager because I think he wanted us all to be angels, you know, not go out on a Saturday. But we'd been going out with him on a Saturday night the year before. So, you know, it'd be things happening. It's not easy to take over when, you know, as a manager with your friends still there. And I see that now. It was difficult for him.
What does he call him? Does he call him boss, gaffer, or Jim? Or
oh, no, gaffer.
Just gaffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the famous one was, I mean, poacher turned gamekeeper, I think people have said before about Jim, haven't they? The famous one is the Amsterdam trip, which I think was a bit of a... storm in a teacup.
Yeah, it was something and nothing. I mean, we'd gone after we'd 2 days off. We didn't have an end of season. We didn't have a player's due because of the attacks in Ipswich. We didn't feel it was right to go out, so we'd kind of skip. Obviously, the right thing to do, skip that. And we thought we'll go away when we've got 2 days off. So we went after a game on a Monday night. We were in training on Thursday. We all got back at lunchtime on Wednesday, but. There was a couple of younger lads there that, looking back, shouldn't have come with us. And Jim at first went mad with them, but then we were all thrown into it and dropped for the next game. I'm not proud of it, but we didn't get into any trouble. But looking back, it's not as me as a more senior, I shouldn't have let younger players just in the first team come with us. And I see that now. That's not a good thing to do.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, I had the situation when I was in my first job as well, and players, one of my teammates, Kenny Sansom, broke curfews and came back and still drunk the next morning for breakfast and all these kind of things. So I went down to the train station and bought two tickets for him and his mate, sent them back home to Coventry. It's the worst thing I ever did in my life. But, you know, you learn from that. It is horrible. And particularly when you have no experience about it. You know, you have experienced the other side, but when you're the leader, when you have to create an example, it's really difficult. But, you know, it's a tough job, but he certainly had that charisma to get through it.
Yeah.
And, he did well, as you say. You missed the playoffs by a point, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's funny in adversity when, you know, we didn't have a load of money to spend, obviously. But we made some really good signings. And I think there was a big change in Jason DeVos. Jason, when I first came, I wouldn't mind saying it to him. You know, he was distant from the lads. in my first year. In the second year, he became the best captain I've ever worked under, and really unselfish, really giving, and he really drove a good, you know, team spirit. And I think that made, you know, you get a team spirit right and lads pulling together and everyone, you know, the right people knowing they're going to be playing. And we had a fantastic home record that year. I think we lost once. It's just a shame we didn't try something different away from home.
115 at home, 1-3 away. That was the story of that season, wasn't it?
I don't think we lost. We won one away till late in the season as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the time when there was, as I said earlier, no money, and I think Alan Ferguson, who was the groundsman, was having to buy the petrol for the lawnmowers to keep the grass cut. I mean, it was that skint the club.
Yeah, it was funny. Just on the pitch, I mean, that was the pitch was still gorgeous back then. You know, I think that winter it might have torn up, and it's never been the same since. It certainly wasn't the same for years. I don't know. I haven't seen it this season, but I remember the pitch. We'd arrive at Rotherham. Well, actually, playing for Rotherham, you know, it's December. Our pitch is a mud bath, and you'd arrive at Portman Road, and it's a carpet. And that would actually give us a lift. You know, this is fantastic. We've got, you know, playing a game on this surface. It was magical.
It was, yeah, so you went to Palace, as you said. But you, when we did a podcast with you with the Blue Monday podcast a couple of years ago, and I think you learnt that there was a documentary about that season where you helped keep them up, didn't you?
Again, I think I was probably motivated by in adversity. And I was dreadful the first season, went away on loan, was trying to get away. But the first game of the season, I'm on the bench, Stern John breaks his arm, and I come on and score the winner. And it's just funny how things change. The fans still hated me, and the manager still hated me.
And his manager was Neil Warnock.
But I was actually, do you know what? I feel all right here. And probably after 8 or 9 games, Neil Warnock kind of, you know, well done, Al, actually. Do you know what I mean? He kind of got me, and he realised that in training, he'd go mad at me. We'd practice set pieces or play, and I'd be up against Paddy McCarthy, and the ball would go up, and I'd let Paddy win it. And he sent me in for training a couple of times for not smash, you know. And then it got to the stage where he goes, listen, I'm not concerned about that. I know on a Saturday, Alan Lee will win that ball. Because I'd have to have a fight and elbow Paddy to win the ball, you know, and he'd have funny methods. But in the end, I had a fantastic relationship with Neil Warnock. We had the championship's a funny league. We were sixth place. We went into administration, deducted 10 points, went down to third from bottom. I could never quite get out of it. You know, we were always third from bottom, fourth from bottom, even though we were picking up points. But the championship, everyone can go on a run. It's really hard if you get yourself in trouble. But so the last game of the season, 40,000 people at Hillsborough. If we draw or win, we stay up. If they win, they stay up. So it was just the most magical day. I scored after about 15 minutes. Darren Ambrose scored the second, and they equalised late on. But from that moment on, I think Crystal Palace has changed as a club. The supporters went from, I remember my first year, they were a bit miserable, kind of half turning up, to full houses every week, really getting behind the club, and it's never looked back.
You scored a bullet header that day, is that right? That's described as a bullet header that saved Palace.
It was a good header, certainly. Yes. Yeah.
But then you obviously became a cult hero. I said that correctly, didn't I? A cult hero. Yeah. But you've also been a hero as well. You helped Port Vale to avoid relegation. You scored the winner against Brentford that sealed promotion for Rotherham. You know, you've contributed to some really, really, you know, important moments.
Yeah, I've been really, really fortunate. I recognise that. I think that season I'm probably most proud of at Crystal Palace because of the circumstances. It got to the stage where the players, Neil Warnock, wouldn't speak to the team before the game.
Were the players happy with that? Yeah.
Listen, we'd all be dancing to the Pretenders, and if someone didn't dance, they'd be grabbed and they have to dance. And I think
it's now the Pretenders now. If you want to,
this this shows the strength of Neil Warnock. After a while, he started going, he'd come in and he, rather than as usual, get the note, but he started going, do you know what, lads? You know the team. I don't need to say anything to you lot. See you after the game. And there was people like Paddy McCarthy, Sean Derry. I mean, Paddy McCarthy dislocated his shoulder 3 times and was playing with his arm like that, but everyone had to play. All the experienced players had to play and really came through. And that was just a wonderful feeling. And I remember after Hillsborough and we stay up, there's obviously big, the young lads are partying. I remember just crying and I went home, made my way back to Dedham and was just so slept so well and such a good feeling. It's so that's probably most my proudest season in football, you know, where I think, you know, I overcame with a really good bunch of people and I'll never forget it.
Well, there is a chance now for history again to be made because it is time, everybody, for our Keep It Up Challenge.
This is going to be embarrassing. I just know it, but listen.
Look, let's look at the leaderboard. Sponsored Mark, by Ginger Pickle.
I'm not.
Hey! At the top, we've got Luke Chambers on 59. Connor Chaplin on 52. Mark Murphy in third place on 10. Oh, come on. You do better than that. Thank you. Phil Hamm on 6.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Did not have a go. Cole Skews. He's got his bad leg. And George, we gave a pass to, George Burley. So here's the ball, Alan. It's a proper Umbro ball bought by my own fair hand in the club shop. It's a bit like the old Top Gear challenge. So we got the leaderboard. Butch is going to do the timing. Phil's got the whistle. You get one go, 60 seconds.
No, that's why I only got 6.
And you have one go, okay? So you've got to make the start a good one, Alan. Are you ready?
If I drop it once, I'm out.
You're out. Yeah.
That's why I only got 6.
And the crowd are going to count, aren't you? Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, do your warm-ups.
No pressure, Alan. Stretches. Are you ready, Butch? Okay, Phil.
30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25,
Luke Chambers. Oh, here we go. What was 57? Was it 58?
58. Alan. Oh,
give him a round of applause. Well, come on.
What's all this rubbish? What's all this rubbish about you can't do anything like that? Was amazing. That was
well done.
That was Premier League standard.
Yeah.
Well, I put a hole in the wall.
It's okay. I think that deserves the Alan Lee song. Come on, Dan. Lead. Hey! Fantastic. Fantastic.
No one's more amazed than myself.
No, well done. Brilliant.
Yeah. We're all amazed.
Yeah. Or your knee surgeon.
Yeah, my hip is might have popped out there at one stage, but never mind.
We've got a medic in the room. We've got some news in brief from Phil Ham, some Ipswich Town news in brief. I'll let you catch your breath, Alan. And Phil, what have you got for us this week?
Well, obviously, the big news today, Dane Scarlett signing on loan from Tottenham for the season. Striker, 19-year-old, young England striker. I think we were interested in him in January. I think probably as an alternative to George Hurst, if that hadn't happened. Kieran McKenna made no bones about how much he rated him when we played Portsmouth last year, saying one of the best young strikers in the world. So I don't think it comes as any surprise that he's here. What do we think? What do we think, Terry?
Yep, he's played for England at all good levels. I saw a clip of him today on TWTD, and he can score. Yeah. Headers, left foot, right foot, got a good pace, good dribbling ability. Just what we need. He's a great alternative or can fight for the place to with George Hurst. So, yeah, it's very good. But 19, you sort of wonder, is it a bit young when you look at the Leeds United forward line and all these, you know. But, you know, he's, I mean, Kieran's proved in the past that he can get really, really good younger players to come and do well for this club.
And he knows him from Tottenham, because obviously Kieran was at Tottenham before he was at Manchester United. So, yeah, I think, does it spell the end for Freddy Ladapo?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a different type of centre-forward as well. He's a bit like Alan in terms of, well, he hasn't got Alan's pace. Well, he's probably quicker than you now, but back in the day, Alan was very quick. So, you know, I think you need a striker like that, someone with a big physical sort of presence, because you've got two quick players in Hurst and now Scarlett.
Did he go on loan to Portsmouth before?
Yeah, he was at Portsmouth last season.
I remember Steve McGavin talking about him, saying he's a good player. Mm. Yeah, he's a good judge.
Yeah, I don't think he scored as many goals. Portsmouth didn't have a great season last year, so I think it's quite a difficult club to go to. And the Cowley brothers don't play the football that Tottenham play or Ipswich play, so I think it would probably suit him a bit more than that.
Yeah,
so
in Kieran we trust, don't we?
We do indeed. And of course, the deadline is tomorrow at 11 p.m. I think we want more signings. I think there's a centre-half. I think there'll be a centre-half unveiled at some point over the next 27 hours, whatever it will be. Any other areas you think we need to strengthen? Anyone else?
Well, not really. I mean, I think they're the two ones with the striker and the centre-back. So, yeah, if we do get a good centre-back, someone who's strong and possibly a bit experienced as well, then I think that going forward with that squad, yeah, we can look forward to, you know, with real optimism, I think. Mm.
And I think we've mentioned the cup draw Wolves. I think that's a positive for us.
Good one.
A decent cup draw, I think that. And other things the last couple of days, Connor Chaplin, League One PFA Players Player winner. A player of the year. It's the first time they've given that award because it's the 50th anniversary of the PFA. And him, Sammy Morsi and Leif Davis, all in the Select 11 for League One last year.
Brilliant. Round of applause, I think, for that, don't you think?
All well deserved. And Sammy Morsi, Egypt call-up, which is a positive for him, obviously.
But
could it be a negative for Ipswich if he makes the African Nations Cup finals? Because Egypt have already made that. If he makes the squad for that, he could miss up to 5 games for Town in January and February, which would be a bit of a concern, because Town without Sam Morsi are not quite the same team, are they?
No, I don't think so, but he's been selected before and never actually gone. So hopefully that'll be the case.
He has been selected in the squad this time rather than like the provisional squad.
Well, we'll see. I mean, hopefully he'll pick up a little hamstring and then be fit for the next game.
That'd never
be your advice, Butch, wouldn't it?
My advice, yes. Yeah, follow that, please.
And finally, really, on this, Elkan Bagot is in the Indonesia under-23 squad rather than their full squad because they want to qualify for the Asia under-23 finals, which are next summer in Qatar. But also, the top three teams from that go through to the Olympics. So we could have a player in the Olympics in Paris.
Very good. Very good.
And
thank
that
you very
endeth
much.
The news.
I would imagine that his Twitter viewers and everybody else would go up enormously over in Indonesia. He's probably got about 15 million followers, I think. Incredible.
Right, I think we've got some questions for you, Alan. Have you relaxed now after your... Yeah, well done.
Yeah,
you're okay.
I'm okay.
We've got some questions from our capacity crowd. Bill, do you want to fight your way through?
Thanks, Alan. I was going to ask...
Come to the microphone, Bill. Look, come up to the microphone.
I was going to ask about Life and Times with Neil Warnock, but he's already covered that, so...
Right. Any other Neil Warnock stories?
You told me one before about how he didn't like you staying in a flat the night before.
Oh, yeah. So I was... In my second season, because I thought I was going to leave, I was just travelling in as much as I could from Dedham. I had a flat in London. And a few games in, I'm in the team. And I'm staying in my flat in London on a Friday night. But at half-time, he pulls me off. I'm actually playing quite well. And he pulls me off. And we end up losing like 4-0 or something. So I'm not having this now. You know, I've been doing it right. And I went in, knocked on his door. Gaffer, I want him happy. Why'd you take me off half time? And he goes, well, stop, Bo. Where were you Friday night? I said, well, I was in my flat in London. Do you think I was out or something? No, I know you weren't out. Why were you in London? You've been travelling in from Dedham. I said, well, it takes 3 hours from Dedham, Gaffer. Do you know, on a match day, I can get caught. No, son. You travel in from Dedham. If you're late, you're late. Come there. Just give me a call. Not a problem. And so
I'd be travelling in from dead forever. If there was a bit of traffic for training, I'd just phone up. He said, turn around, never mind, just go home. And he just said, you're a different person when you come from the countryside than when you're from London. I don't think you're out or anything. I just want you to travel in from where you're happy. It was good as gold.
Wow. It's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, that's proper man management, isn't it?
It's not like Neil Warnock, but it's very good. Yeah.
Will's here from Wickham Market again, everybody. Come on, look. Come on, Will.
Hello, Jules. How are you?
Come on, Will.
You like the rattle, didn't you? That's the first thing I bought when I went to Portman Road with a group of friends. We all had them in them days. 61, 62 season, that was, Alan.
Wow.
You weren't born, were you?
No.
Now, Alan, I see you play many, many times. You do understand Suffolk. You lived here a long while now.
I do, of course.
Me, of course you can. I've seen you play many, score some lovely goals. So we were devastated when you went to Crystal Palace. And do you remember what you said at the time? You couldn't miss the opportunity of playing under Neil Warnock. That's what you said.
Yeah.
And we were devastated. And you obviously got on very well. You just said you got on very well with him. But what did you do so wrong when you were there that they sent you down the road to the Canaries?
Again, I think so much is your mindset when you sign. And I remember it was quite late. I'd already played a couple of games for Ipswich that season. I kind of go up. I do this mad strength test they have these machines to strengthen your hamstring tests. I'm driving all day. And the next day I'm thrown into training and a game and then travel home to get your stuff. And I come up on the Monday and I'm doing some extra finishing and my hamstring tears. So not a bad one though, but I'm out for 3 weeks. So straight away you're going, right, this club doesn't have the money to outlay on someone like me to be sat on the bench, you know, to be sat in the injured. And everyone looked, whenever I was injured, I'd always feel like guilty, you know. And I think it was might have been something a bit more in our era, you know. You were looked, anytime you were injured, you were looked on like a piece of, you know, you. So I felt really bad, tried to come back, ended up tearing my hamstring 3 times before it was diagnosed that actually it was worse than what they thought. So at that point I've not contributed anything for 3 or 4 months. Clubs moved on without me. I'm coming back unfit and not playing well and kind of regressing my move. I've realised I'm half living in London. My fiance's down in Suffolk in Dedham, and that's just not me. I was, you know, not eating well, going out, kind of doing all the things you shouldn't do.
Yeah. But, you know, we found it hard to accept that you were going to play for Neil Warnock because we all hated him at Portman Road. He used to wind us up. Do you remember? And Joe Royal, who you mentioned early on, he hated him more than anybody. He had an anagram for his name, you know. And the first part of it was Colin, and the second part was what they used to call Butcher, the away supporters. Well, work it out when you've got some time, I guess. Yeah.
Get a pen and a piece of paper and do
but,
that
well,
at home.
Just one other final quick question, Alan. How did you get on with the Canary supporters? Did they accept you, being ex-Ipswich?
They did after my first home game. It changed because they were in a team. They had a lot of lone players, a lot of people not putting the work in. I played one away game, and then I put a performance at Watford at home, and I had a great performance. They could see, actually, I worked. Like any fans, I think if you see someone working hard, trying their best, and that's magnified if you know there's other people on that pitch, or there's people who have gone before you who've not tried their best, and you show some passion, they'll forgive a lot of... They have to forgive a lot of... fans forgive a lot.
So the second game, they dropped the scum bit, did they?
it's funny. A lot. I think it's a bit of a pantomime thing in the background. Not many people have said to me and have criticised me to my face on either sides of it. But I think generally people, Ipswich and Norwich fans are generally good, nice people, well brought up. And I think when you talk to them, when you talk to people on the street, and you're prepared to be at the level, and you don't think you're something bigger than them, I think anyone will talk to you and won't mind the way you are.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks for what you've done while you were with us.
That's very nice of you. Thank you. Remember
you fondly, boy.
Very good. So when you went up the A140 to Norwich and pulled that jersey on, right? How did you feel? Because I had a trial with Norwich many, many years, even before you were born, I think. I had a trial for Norwich. And I pulled the Norwich shirt on because you had to wear the Norwich kit for the trial match. And I felt physically sick. So did you did you feel the same the first time you put that shirt on?
I never knew you played for Norwich as well.
No, I had a trial. I had a trial for Norwich.
Well, still playing for them.
No, it's a trial. It's not a game. It's a trial.
Breaking news, Phil?
No.
Yeah, it's old history. I've had this out with him before. But you came back. You came back. We haven't... The second spell at town.
Yes, the return.
After you left Huddersfield. You'd all but retired, hadn't you, at Huddersfield, and you moved back here. And then Mick and Terry saw you coaching.
It was really difficult. So my dad was dying, and he was living in our house in Dedham with Mum. And we just had our first kid, and Mark Robbins had taken over to Huddersfield, and the chairman wanted me to have a second year. And Mark said, it's a long story, but Mark said, yes, you know, we'll want Alan to have the second year. And then day after the season ends, he goes, listen, Alan, it's not the right thing to keep you. I know you want to go off somewhere else. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't even have the energy to go, how disappointed I am in you. But we had a baby. We had nowhere to live. We had our house in Huddersfield. I remember saying to Catherine, right, go down and live with your mum. I'll close up shop here, get the house in the market, I'll follow you down. We had no idea what we're going to do. Obviously, so stressed about Dad is just like sicker and sicker. So I'd started doing my badges, but I needed to do 10 hours experience or whatever. And I came in to coach some academy team. And it was like a Wednesday night. And Mick and Terry happened to be by the pitches. And as I was walking off, I just walked over and said, oh, Mick and Terry, thank you for letting me come in. And I think someone else who was coaching had just walked past them and ignored them. And I think part of me thinks that Mick wants, you know, Mick quite likes you being polite, as you know. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, it looks like I'm retired. And he said, have you been keeping fit? And I said, yeah. Kind of. And he said, well, come in and play for the 23s tomorrow. We just need some good people around. So I scored a goal against Colchester, and Mick said, listen, you're not going to be part of my plans, but we'd like you to offer your coaching stroke player role. And if we need you, we need you. We've got someone to rely on.
So this was very much like the role that Paul McShane has had at Man United. It's sort of you kind of invented this role, didn't you?
I'm not sure about that. Listen, I've had a lot of fortunate things like that in my career, but you know, I was it was fantastic to see Mick and Terry and how they work, and there was a good bunch of lads there.
And you went into the academy as a coach for a while.
Yeah, that first year I do a bit of just do one-on-ones with the 23s or the 18s, take boys into the sweat box and just work on their technique. Next year I had my knee operation, so I couldn't play anymore. So was helping Jared Nash. And then I 2 years as youth team manager.
And then it all kind of, you said to me before that there wasn't a good feeling around the club. You didn't, a lot of people left, and you didn't trust the people that were running.
Listen, I just wasn't enjoying it. And I think you've got, you know, I think there's a lot of people in football. Everyone's, you know, I'm not saying it was just Ipswich Town at that point. You know, I have friends and you'd visit other clubs. Everyone's just full of ego going in, taking themselves so seriously. You couldn't go in and have a bit of fun. Everyone's trying to work with the first team. No one's doing their jobs. And I just feel that people just weren't making decisions for the club. I felt that coupled with the way I saw Mick treated and, you know, how that affected him. And I thought the new plans were just, you know, worthless. And the way, you know, I had an opportunity to go to Culford School, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going around the country. I could have gone up to Oldham in a first team job, and I thought, I can't move my family up there. I'm happy here. So Culford was a way to just write, I've got two little ones. I want to live in Suffolk. I want to settle down. I can't work in this academy. I cannot work for this football club. But I went in, I knocked on the door, and I said, I'm leaving. I'm not going to tell about what I saw going on, stuff I've seen going on here. I just want to walk away, but I want nothing more to do with what's going on. There's my notice. And not look back.
Well, it's a big decision, and you know when something's right, don't you? You know when something's right for you, you know when something's not right for you, and you've obviously made the right choice there. Some questions from our socials. because we're running out of time already. Matt's been in touch. What was your favourite goal that you scored for Town? Mine was the almost backward header against Sunderland in 2006, he says. What was your favourite goal be for Town? Can you pick one out?
I think that's, they're talking about the Leeds one.
Oh, could well be. Yeah,
yeah,
could
the
well
Leeds
be.
One when we, they got relegated that day. I think the whole goal last game of the season, because there was a moment where we thought, oh, we could, you know, if results went right, we could make the playoffs. My first goal for the club against Southampton away. Again, that was that moment where I'm running through on goal, Owen Garvin clips one over the top. And a week ago at Cardiff, I'd have had so much thoughts in my mind, where do I put this? I'd have missed, you know. And you just see it, bang, I know where this is going. Second chance, bang, I know where it's going. And it's, I suppose that's what the best players have most of their career. They always know what they're going to do and have that time in their mind. For me, it was just fleeting every now and then.
Oh, well, you made a great career out
not as fleeting as it was
those
for
fleeting
some of
moments. Anthony's been in touch. Who was your favourite strike partner that you played with at Town, or favourite player that you played with at Town? Who would spring to mind?
You know, I've so many fond memories from that team. I think it would be unfair. You know, there was great characters, loved all the lads. I think the relationship probably had with Pablo, even though we weren't close friends or anything, we got along fine. I was the fine master, though, and he'd always take it personally when I was fining him, you know, as if...
Tell us about the fine master
else,
then. What did you have
I
to do?
I was kind of judge, jury and executioner, and I'd collect the money and I'd... we'd have a bit of fun with it and someone might put a case up. But the Spanish boys, like someone else would report them and I'd fine them as per the rules and like Pablo would be staring at me like really person. Even though I'd be like, Pablo, I haven't even reported you. Do you know what I mean? So he'd look at me like I was dead to him. So I've seen him since. So nice to see him. But I knew he was so special. We'd start high, he'd drop into a hole, he'd find a way to get space. We knew what we do each other were doing, we'd complement each other, and he was a really special player.
Ben's life's been in touch. What player out of today's squad do you wish you could have shared the pitch with back in the day?
Chaplin. I think I've not seen, I'm really looking forward to watching the game on Saturday. The last game I saw was probably against Colchester here last year. But when I've seen him on TV, he's the sort of player that we don't see enough of. He's likely to pop up somewhere, do something unexpected, just surprise you in some way. I really like him.
He's a great player, isn't he? Fantastic little player. And still just third in our leaderboard now. As you take second place on the... Keep you up challenge.
You pipped him.
Yeah. This is from George from Fram. Alan had a really distinguished playing career and represented some great clubs. You've touched on this already, but I will ask you, what is it about Suffolk that meant that you wanted to put your roots down here? And so many ex-players do, actually, don't they?
I just met some extraordinary people. The Booths, Chris and Fiona Booth in Dedham, who are lifelong Ipswich fans. My brother's married to their daughter. Ross is married to Sinead. We were at a party at their house the other week. I just met really nice people. I like, I much prefer a pub than a nightclub, believe it or not. I like that there's no motorways. I like that we don't get stuck in, there's no cities here. We don't get stuck in, though actually in Ipswich sometimes there is a bit of traffic now, isn't there? But certainly
there is on a match day, I'll tell you.
I'm not stuck in traffic. My wife was obviously from here. My little boy was born. My boy Harry was born here. Eva's a Yorkshire woman, but born in Huddersfield. I don't know, pace of life, the fact that mobile phones don't work. you know, just little things. It's maybe a little bit old fashioned in the right way. Reminds me of home.
That's fantastic. Do you get back to Ireland at all or not?
I don't agree. I wish I could do it more. It's sometimes a difficult with an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. We'll probably start doing it a bit more. Mum comes over. My mum, Martina, travels over regularly and spends a lot of time with us. So,
and you're involved with Bury Town now, aren't you? Tell us about the role with Bury Town.
I've been a director of Bury Town for years. Some people try and call me director of football, but we're not that sophisticated. I have swept...
swept the walkways. I have flipped burgers.
Well, it's funny you should mention the burgers, because I've had a message here from Russell Ward. Just explain to everybody who Russell is.
Russell is our chairman.
Okay, and he says, how was it flipping 500 burgers the other day?
That wasn't a Bury Town. I am the official Hartest Village bar chef. So when we've the fete where we must get about 1,000 people, and that happened on Monday, I have to do all the burgers and sausages. But I have a little team of helpers, including my wife Catherine, and her brother Sam, and so any event, that's my responsibility.
Excellent. So are you available at all? Does anybody want to book Alan for a barbecue?
Can you let the... I've still got onion. I can still smell onion.
I didn't like to say anything, but I'm, you know.
I don't think anyone has food poisoning.
No, there's not been any reports. There's not been an outbreak in Hartest. You're fine. Phil, you wanted to just mention some horses as well, don't you? So the Suffolk Punch...
Yes, we're...
Trust at Hoseley have been... after you to publicise what they do on your TWTD website.
They have, and it will be, by the time this goes out, it will be towards the top of the site. Yes, they're raising money for batteries. They've bought some solar panels, but they want to store the energy, so they're collecting money for that. We've raised about £1,700 already. I think £2,000 buys the first battery. So, yeah, anything that anyone can spare would be terrific. But, of course, finance is your game now, isn't it, Alan?
Yes, I'm busy. I had a hip replacement about 3 or 4 years ago. I cannot coach and walk out with balls every day. I know I need another hip replacement at some stage. I still oversee the football program at Culford. But about 3 or 4 years ago, I started studying to become an IFA, and I qualified about a year ago, I think now. So I've been looking after clients in football and locally and doing mortgages and protection. And I guess that's something for me to go alongside what I'm doing. I can work a lot at home, dealing with people, work hard, to be honest. And I've really enjoyed it.
Very similar to what you did, Butch, isn't it?
I actually didn't do anything for my insurance company, no. So, and it worked very well for me, to be honest. No, but I mean, it's a tough world you're going into. Footballers in the past used to go into, you know, insurance or something like that, or pubs and management and all this sort of thing. But you know, I envy you, and you've obviously got a good brain in there to digest all the figures and give good advice. Is it good advice?
It's honest advice. I don't pretend I know everything yet. You know, there's still elements I need to learn and get better at. I love helping people with their mortgages, particularly. I've been doing that for years, and particularly in the current market, you know, people really aren't sure what to do, and it's people are under pressure. So I've been quite busy. But I'm extremely grateful to Culford. Has just gone from strength to strength, and they were really helpful with me and supportive me in doing this. We've got a really great football program there now, and we're going to have a big push for girls football, both at Culford and Bury Town next year. So watch out for that. But I love the people I work with at the school and how supportive they've been. And you know, I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in.
Well, I wish Bury Town all the best this season, but not against Lowestoft, of course. Because Lowestoft are now higher than Bury in the table.
That didn't get much reaction, Butch, did it, really?
No, I knew it wouldn't anyway. So.
Look, we've got a presentation this evening to us. Mandy and Linda are here from the Ipswich Town Supporters Club. Mandy, come and step up to that microphone. Come on, Linda, give us some support here. Good to see you both. Come a little bit Hello. Closer to that microphone, Mandy. You're both big fans of Alan's, aren't you?
Yes, yes. And Terry's.
And Phil's.
And Phil's.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And you.
Thank you. That's very kind. Very kind. You've brought us a present. What have you brought us?
We have brought a cake.
Oh, it's a cake. We've got cake. Look. Look at this. Oh, it's like Test Match Special. We've arrived. Fantastic.
Yeah, and that's all for you. Because I know how, Terry always used to bring us cake. Did you, Terry? So, yeah, I can't say I made it. It was my friend Sheila. So, but we wanted to bring you
oh,
cake.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. And actually, you've brought serviettes and everything else, so we can all have a bit of cake before we go, can't
yes.
we?
Yes. Yes. You can.
And now the other day we had a bit of a challenge because the North American Supporters Club wanted to put a sticker on Phil's laptop. And I think, yes. Linda, you've got some stickers over there. Grab those stickers. And if you walk gently over towards Phil Ham over there, go and stick one on his laptop over there. The Ipswich Town Supporters Club sticker. He's getting quite a collection on there, really.
I am,
there
yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Pop it on his
yeah.
laptop. Don't put it on his head. Well, you can, actually, because it was quite funny last week, wasn't it?
There's plenty of room.
Yeah. Yay! Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Linda, Mandy, thank you very much. We'll enjoy the cake.
Welcome.
Give them a round of applause, everybody. One thing to do before we finish, and that is to give you the Man v Fat football scores. Here we go. So, this is from Mark. Best wishes for tonight's show. Could you congratulate Pork Vale on being this season's champions and Far From Athletic for winning the cup? Big shout outs to Daniel Newman and Matt Leek for attaining their 5% loss certificates in the final week to earn the bonus goals that won the cup. So well done, boys. And these are the scores this week from the Man v Fat at Portman Road. LA Galaxy Bar 9, to lose a few pounds, 6. Man Titty 9. Yay! Pork Vale 4.
Yay, there we go.
And Seattle Quarter Pounders 9. Far From Athletic 10. There endeth the Man v Fat football results for this week. Alan, it's been great to see you. Can I just say what a fantastic guest you've been? And it's been a really interesting insight into what footballers have to put up with, moving from clubs, families. You know, you talked about your father, you talked about the children. You know, I think a lot of the time we forget that, you know, you're uprooting everybody and you're going to different parts of the country. So thank you for just giving us an insight into that.
No, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I always feel flattered when, you know, I'm in exalted company like this, and I know Russell and all the proper legends that you have at your disposal who played for this club when it was, you know, one of the best in Europe. So I always feel flattered when I get invited. So thank you very much, and good luck
You'll
with the
again?
New show. Absolutely.
Come again?
Yes.
Yeah. You've got to persuade Cole Skews to come back when his leg is better to yes. do that Keep It Up challenge.
Can I just say a big thank you on behalf of Ipswich Town for the service you gave to them, and also for going to Norwich and getting them relegated as well.
Hey! I think that deserves a song, don't you? I think that deserves a song. The Alan Lee song, one more time.
Alan Lee,
goal!
Always believe in your score. You've got the power to know you're indestructible. Always believe in Alan Lee, goal!
Fantastic.
Sounds
Alan,
like 29
thanks so much. That's it for this week. We are out of time. Don't forget to keep in touch. Check out our Live to Pitch socials, Facebook, Insta and Twitter or X. You can check out our website very soon as well. Don't forget November the 30th. Put that in your diary because we've got a big event where we will really have a capacity crowd. Thanks again to our main sponsors, DPS Tech, also supported by All About Hearing, marketing company Ginger Pickle, who look after our leaderboard over there for the Keep You Up Challenge, Forward Floors, Come Hither Design, the Hudson Group, Sound 4, Pro Audio. Thank you very much, Capacity Crowd. You've been absolutely incredible. Don't forget to tell your friends to listen on podcast, watch on YouTube, and don't forget, please, subscribe and like. From all of us on Life's a Pitch TV this week, up the town!